Welcome back to podcast number 5. My name is John Fagan and I am the CEO of Scribe and Civically. So today I have Becky from Cloudless Sky Coaching. How are you doing, Becky?
Yeah, I'm very good. The sun is shining. Can't really complain.
Important question. Have you listened to any of the other podcasts? Were you aware of podcasts?
I wasn't until this morning, but I will be listening. I do quite like a podcast. I will have a listen.
Good, good. Yeah, it is something new we've been doing. Yeah, so it's called Pod on the Parish, a bit of play on placements there. So, you'll have your first podcast you're going to listen to will be your own, I imagine.
Oh, no, I might not listen to my own. Might skip that one.
So on your Zoom here, it does say Cloudless Sky Coaching, but tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so that's kind of one arm of me, if you like. So I'm also a parish clerk. I've been a parish clerk for a long time, since my youngest was in reception. He's now doing his A-levels. And I have worked for several different parishes. I'm also a locum clerk. So I tend to be going into other parishes when a clerk is on holiday or there's a gap between a clerk leaving and the appointment of a new clerk.
Where are you actually based?
So I'm in South Cambridgeshire.
Okay, cool. And what parish councils are you working at the moment?
I'm currently just working for Little Shelford Parish Council. So it's quite a small one. It's part-time. And that's so that I can fit in at the other things I do.
So what, outside your coaching, yeah, because you are, like I was just having a look, you're not only parish clerk, you've got qualified life coach, NLP practitioner, hypnotherapist and EFT practitioner. So some of those things, we've had you on webinars before you've done. We did some tapping exercises. So outside those, is there anything else you do? Is there a little something that no one knows, a little secret about other interests of yourself?
I ran the Cambridge Half Marathon. Does that count?
Oh, sweet. Awesome. That was recently.
That was March, and I'm signed up to do Oxford in October. But I saw my physio yesterday because I've got a problem with my knee. So I have just discovered that I am hypermobile, and I have one side of me that's too loose and one side that's too tight. So I've got some work to do.
You need to get those strength excellent. They're so boring doing the strength conditioning exercises. Yeah. But you go, I guess you've got to get those. What are the front muscles they're called? You've got to get them sorted.
Well, this is all linked to my plantar, and your, what is it called? The tendon in your foot, which can give you plantar fasciitis.
Yes.
And so the older I get, the more I believe in that song, that something is connected to the, do you remember the song from?
Yeah, 100%, it's all connected.
It's all connected. So actually the problem isn't in my knee. That's where the problem is exerting itself. It's telling me that there's a problem.
How long have you been running?
I did couch to 5K. In 2020, and we didn't quite finish. So we started in January, and then I went back in 2022, and I haven't stopped. Never in a gazillion years would I have ever thought I would be a runner. Not at all. But I run with a lovely group. It's called Let's Run Girls. We run every Saturday morning, so I do at least 5K every Saturday, if not further.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big runner as well, as you know.
Yeah.
I've got a race tonight, 5 mile race in Yarmouth.
Oh, have you?
In Great Yarmouth. But I mean, I've got a little niggle at the moment. I shouldn't technically do it, but I'm going to see how I go.
I was going to say, I'm not about speed. I'm about starting and finishing.
That is a good attitude. I'm a bit locked into speed at the moment, but I'm just on, while I've got the, while I'm still relatively young in my 50s, I still want to achieve some PBs. Did you watch the London Marathon?
I watched bits of it. Last year I was there because I was there supporting three friends who were running, and that was fabulous. But then I did know two people running this year, so I did keep an eye on how they were doing.
Oh, it was amazing. I watched it end to end. I just couldn't believe
the
world record. I mean, I've been tracking the sub 2 target for years now, and it's amazing they achieved that. Anyway,
Daddy Pig come in.
Yeah, I could be talking about running all day, but that's not what we're here for. So what are you going to be talking a bit about today?
So I'm going to be talking about kind of time management, stress. It's the busiest time of year for clerks, end of March, April. And then depending when your internal audit is, it can go on until May, and then you've got to get everything off to PKF Little John. So it's a busy time for us all.
Yeah, it's a busy time. We are sort of entering crunch point right now. So it is perfect time for you to come along and talk today.
So this can be a really busy, pressured season. So really what I'm here to do today is to talk about some ideas that you can try for managing stress, avoiding the overwhelm and the burnout. I read a few years ago, and I cannot remember where I read it, that actually there are quite a number of parish clerks who resign in the summer, kind of just after audit time. And I think this is all connected. Why? So, stress is really, it's about the pressure that is going on that we might be putting ourselves under, or our counsellors might be putting ourselves under. Our capacity, so actually, that's kind of about the time we work, the hours we have. Not all of us are full-time parish clerks. If you are starting in a new council and you're taking over somebody else's accounts, that can be a bit of a headache. And then also our perception, and that's about our beliefs of it's going to be difficult. If we're telling ourselves it's going to be difficult, it's going to be difficult. So they're the three things which cause our stress. So I wanted to talk about the musts, the shoulds, and the coulds. So there are things we must do. Okay, so we have legal deadlines and we have audit requirements, and they go together. We know when we have to get our stuff off to Little John. We know when we have to put the notices on the website and the notice board. We know when our annual parish meeting is, where maybe we're presenting the accounts to our residents. We know all of those things. So they're the must things. There are some should things. So they're important, but they're flexible. I don't really like the word should because it comes with guilt. Should. We should be doing this. We should be doing that. And then there are the could things, which are the nice to do things. So they're the extras. I don't know. Maybe council decides they want a nice poster to advertise the annual parish meeting. And actually, out of all the things that we're doing, if we can't find a nice picture, we can't put a pretty border on it, just getting a notice up is sometimes good enough. So I want you to think about the good enough being good enough, you know, and not busting a gut to do the extra that doesn't necessarily need doing. I should have said, actually, if anyone's got any questions or any comments, do pop them in the chat. I do have it open. Or if I'm not making sense, please let me know. Okay, so they're the musts, the shoulds, and the coulds. So some of the things that we can do to work around this, and now this is, you'll have probably all come across this idea, time blocking. And I want you to be realistic with this. So you can work in a focus chunk. So, and this will be slightly different for everybody. Please don't take this as prescriptive that Becky says we must work for 45 minutes and then stop, because that's not what I'm saying. You know how you work. So it may be that you like to do an hour. You think, right, I'm going to do an hour on that and then do something else. There is the Pomodoro technique, which is the 25 minutes on, 5 minutes off. So, you can do 25 minutes, have a break of 5 minutes, go and get a cup of tea, stick your head out in the garden, out of the office window, whatever you need to do. But when we're thinking about this, and this is what I mean about being realistic, is to build in buffer time, because we know as clerks that life is a little bit unpredictable. You know, the swing doesn't break at the most convenient moment for us. It just breaks, doesn't it? A member of the public message you about something, a clerk, a counselor wants some information, you know, and we don't know when. So we do need to be a little bit flexible to kind of roll with it a little bit. But what we can do is protect a little bit of time. So you can have these however many you want. I've put one to two, could be more. You can have these non-negotiable focus slots. And if you need to, if you are in a council office, for example, you could tell your counsellors, actually, today, just for this hour, this morning, I am working on, and whatever it is, you know, I need not to be interrupted. So you turn your notifications off, you turn your phone off, you tell them you're not going to answer. If you've got a landline, it's going to go to the answer phone just while you focus on whatever it is you need to focus on. And I want to encourage you all to have breaks. I know how tempting it is to work through the lunchtime, to work late into the evening. But actually, it doesn't help. And I'll tell you a little story from when I was first a clerk and I'd taken over somebody else's accounts and there was an error and I could not find it. I could not find it. And I was tearing my hair out. You know, I was in this kind of, I have to get this right. I'm going to talk about that more a bit later. I have to get this sorted. And I was working from home and my husband says, have a break, go and do something different, go and have a bath, go for a walk, whatever it is you need to do, and then come back to it. And I fought him for a bit on it. I said, no, I've got to get this finished. But actually, I did eventually. I went and had a bath. And in the bath, I thought, do you know what? I know what it is. And when I came back, I was right. And these were the days when we still had cash. So somebody has written down actually the spreadsheet and what had gone into the bank didn't quite match. And it was from this pile of change that had gone from after our village weekend. So sometimes it's counterintuitive, but having the break makes us see things more clearly. Another thing you can do is the three task rule. I know that probably all of you have a long to-do list. Yeah, it's going maybe even over a page. So I want you to look at the start of your day, your evening, or even the afternoon or evening before, and choose the three priorities for the day. Okay, I want to do this, this, and this. Okay, if you get anything else done, that is a bonus. And it's just a way of thinking. If we look at that to-do list, it can be so overwhelming before we've even started. We just look at that long list. We tie ourselves up in, I'm not quite sure where to start, which is the priority for today. If you speak to somebody else, they will tell you that it's a different priority. So just be very gentle with yourself and say, right, I'm going to pick these three things today. And you will know from your individual councils and your individual workloads. You know, you may not be, you may be the assistant clerk, you may be the clerk and RFO. There are different versions of this. So you know what will be the priority for you. So I want to talk about boundaries. I often find myself talking about boundaries to parish clerks. So we've already talked about that today I am doing. I've already mentioned that it might be that you need to have the phone off, the door shut, the emails left. I want to talk about hours because many of us, and especially at this time of year, work extra hours. So I want you to really think about that. Be honest with your councils about how much you are doing. If there is a lot of extra hours, that may need to be a conversation. All my councils that I've ever worked for, I've always said to them, I appreciate that there are times of the year that are busier than others. March and April is one of them. We've tended, you know, we tend to have extra meetings. And they've always been happy because I've been part-time that I keep a record of my hours. And in August, when it's a bit quieter, I do a bit less. So it all balances out. So that may be something to consider. If that doesn't work and you are having, you know, you're doing a lot more time, you do, I would encourage you to speak to your council, your HR committee, however you do it, about that. And I think it's really important that our councils do know actually what the clerk is doing and what the clerk is, I guess, costing, not just in financial terms, but you know, they need to know really what you're doing and how we're working. I'm not explaining that as well as I would like to, but I hope it's making sense. And to work in a way that supports you. So what supports me will be different to what supports you. So have a think about that. How do you like to work? When is the best time? It may be that actually you're an early morning person, so you quite like to do the thinking work in the morning. It may be that you're a bit of a later person day, and actually your best time for thinking is the afternoon. Sometimes for some people it's even the evening. So work with that if you can, and the way that you work best. I've just put this at the bottom because I know we are dealing with members of the public and we are dealing with our councillors. So if they're saying they want you to do whatever it is now, this is an answer you can give them. I'd love to help you, but can I come back to you this afternoon, tomorrow, on Monday, once I've finished whatever it is? Generally, people are much more accommodating if you can give them a calm, you know, rational reason that I'm doing this, but I will come back to you. Make a note of it so that you can go back to them. If there is a problem and you can't go back the day or the time you said, you can at least tell them that. You can say, actually, hang on, I'm still working on this. I will come back to you. And I know when I've done that with members of the public, they are so grateful that I've come back to them. Even if I can't help them or I've got to point them to somebody else, they're very thankful that I have taken the time to go back and say that to them. So, mindset. This is a really Big one, actually. Our brains are like great big magnets. So they like to prove us right. So there's two things here. They like to prove us right, and they're like these magnets. So if we start to think it's all doom and gloom, everything's going to go wrong, our brain will go, ah, that's what they're looking for. I'm going to show them all the things that are going wrong, all the doom and gloom. So it may be that it's raining and you think, oh, it's another wet day. It's not going to be a good day because it's raining. And you're already off on this path. So then somebody will cut you up in the car. Your brain will show you that something else will happen. And you will start to pull all these things in. And by the end of it, you'll be just be saying, oh, it's just one of those days. If we can change that to thinking more positively, your brain will start to show you the things that are positive. So actually, what I'd like to do now, I'd like to take a little pause. And what I would like you to do is just put your feet flat on the floor. Okay? And this is just about grounding yourselves. Just take a really nice deep breath in and out. And close your eyes if you want to. Take another nice deep breath in and then breathe out. Okay. And then I would like you, if you've got a pen handy, you can do it on your phone or notes, whatever. Just jot down three things that you can be thankful for today. They don't need to be big things. For me, one of them would definitely be the sun is shining. Three things that you can be thankful for. And this is a really good way of training our minds to start to look for the positives. We have a negative bias in our brains, which we're kind of fighting against, which goes back to, I guess, when we were cave people, when actually we would worry about there being a saber-toothed beastie out of our cave. But actually, that kept us alive. Because we would think, oh, I'm not just going to walk out in case that beastie is there and it's going to eat me up. But we still have that bias in our brains today, so we kind of need to actively think about the positive. Okay. I hope you found that useful. You can do this every day. It doesn't matter when in the day. We're doing it at what, 28 minutes past 10. You can do it first thing, you can do it last thing, you can do it at lunchtime, or even when it just occurs to you. So, still talking about mindset, we're going to do a little bit of reframing. So you come in and you look at your to-do list. This links into choosing your three priorities, and you're going like, today I've got to do this. But actually, I want you to take a little step back and say, today I choose to. It just gives us a different feeling about it. When we're choosing to do something, we've got a choice. If we're saying, I've got to, there's no choice in that. There's pressure. When we say, I choose to, it just reduces that pressure. The same with I have to do everything. So you may be a clerk who has got staff, so you can delegate or you can get help with some of the things, but you may be on your own. So we can change that thinking to I will prioritize what matters most, or I will give this activity to somebody else, or I will ask my assistant clerk to help me with this. And it's just a way of thinking about it in a different way, but that reduces the pressure. Reduces the stress on us. So, the stress cycle, I don't know if you know about the stress cycle. There's a trigger. So, something happens that gives us the stress response. So, the stress response is, again, another old response. It's the flight, fight, and freeze or fawn response. It's a natural thing. Basically, we are getting ready to run away from something. So that would be your flight or to fight it. So, again, back to the days, cave people, your saber-toothed beastie, are you going to run away from it or are you going to fight it? So, that is our basic stress response. The thing is, these days, we respond to things that are not likely to kill us. The saber-toothed beastie was going to kill us, but actually, we respond to stress in the same way, but they're things that are not going to necessarily kill us. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they are life-threatening, but not always. And I don't think really what we're talking about is life-threatening. I know it can feel really stressful and really big, but we kind of need to finish that cycle. So we've had this stress response, but we need to let that out of our body. If we carry on the rest of our day, the rest of our week, holding on to that stress, that's when we're going to get into trouble. That's when we're not going to be able to sleep and all those other things. So the stress needs to be completed, and it's not just in our heads, it's a physical thing as well. So we need to do these small actions to release it physically and emotionally. So, sorry, yeah, this is carrying on from that. So the stress response, we're preparing to flight or flee, fight or flee, sorry. And then, so basically, we need to give our brains and then our bodies a sign that we're safe now. We don't need to worry. So this is all about calming your nervous system. There's lots about this actually currently on social media, your vagus nerve, all of this kind of thing. It's all very similar and all related. Have I got that slide twice? I seem to have said that already. Okay, so here are some ideas. 60 seconds reset. So you can inhale for a count of four and exhale for a count of six. If your exhale is longer, your body sees that as calming. That's really easy to do. We can do it together. We can have a practice. Let's do that. So take a nice deep breath in for four, three, two, one, and breathe out. Six, five, four, three, two, one. How does that feel? You can do several rounds of that. Just helps bring everything down. If you've got your feet flat on the floor, that helps too, because that's literally grounding you. So there's other things we can do. We can stretch, or you can shake out tension. If any of you have a dog, you see what a dog does. It meets another dog. They've said hello. They've done their sniffing, their wagging tails. They walk off and then they literally shake, and they shake it out of them. They shake it off. And we can do the same. Obviously, if you're in an office with other people, you might like to choose which one of these you use, or you can share it with them. The other thing we can do is make sure your shoulders are dropped. You know, when we get stressed, our shoulders come up like this around our ears and we lose our necks. So literally drop your shoulders. So you can do a little stretch with that too. That helps you keep your shoulders down. And then finally, name how you are feeling. When we name it, it takes the power out of it. So just say, okay, I'm feeling overwhelmed. This feels too much today. I've got this mistake in the accounts. I can't find it. It's feeling too much. And that just gives you permission to find it too much. And then you can begin to work through it and work with it. So these are just some of the things you can do. There are lots of ideas. We're all different. We're all like a different thing. One of mine, really, when I am very stressed, is I go for a walk. That is out in nature. It's the best thing for me. But other people like other things. John might go for a run when he's feeling really stressed. We all respond to different things. So have a play with it. There's no right or wrong. So moving on from that, we need to think about the things that help us feel human again. You know, when we move on from just being the parish clerk getting the end of year sorted. And again, these things will be different for each of us. So I've put exercise. I'm not telling you you have to become a runner. I'm really not. You know, you could go and do yoga or Pilates, ride your bike, whatever it is. It might be getting out in fresh air, getting out in nature. If that is helpful for you, but it's really hard to do in your working day, open the window. If that's all you can do to get some fresh air in your working day, open the window. But, you know, that's better than nothing. Look at the tree outside. Look at the playground, the playing field. There'll be nature in there. I know it's not quite the same, but if that's all we can do, it will be helpful. Make sure you finish on time at least once a week. We should be always aiming to finish it on time, but I know we can't always do it when it's really busy. So make sure at least, you know, you're not late every day. And smile. We underestimate the power of a smile. It makes us feel better. And you know, if we smile at somebody else, they are likely to pass it on. So you are doing good in the world by smiling at somebody. The other things we can do are things like connect with a friend, you know, that chat, that cup of coffee, play with the dog, stroke the cat, whatever works for you. You are more than just a parish clerk. Sometimes we need to be reminded that we have a world outside of that. I know it doesn't always feel like it. Okay, so these are the things that I would like you to go away with. The mustard coulds, the top three priorities, the micro stress resets, and the well-being habits that you can build in. So have a think about which one you're really going to take away from today. Then I would like to share with you something that one of my counsellors told me, probably about 8 years ago now. Maybe it was longer because it was a new council. Again, I was doing the accounts that I'd taken over. I couldn't find 50p. Now that 50p was really, really bothering me. And it was on spreadsheet. And this counsellor, he said to me, "Please stop." He said, "It is going to take you hours." He said, "What it is probably a typing error. Someone's probably put a three in instead of a five somewhere on the spreadsheet." I think that's what he said. Anyway, he said it will be something to do with the numbers. He said it will cost us much more as a parish council to find that 50p. And he said, "When you round it up, you're not going to see it anyway." And that was so helpful for me because I was tying myself up in knots over finding this tiny bit of money. With my realistic head on, I'm thinking there are councils with far bigger problems than 50p missing. But you know, in my wanting to do it all right and be perfect, I was determined to find it. In the end, I didn't. I went with his advice and I left it. And in the grand scheme of things, it never mattered. Although when I think about it, I can still feel that little flicker of annoyance. And this is one of the questions that John asked me right at the beginning before you were all here. He said, "What's one of the biggest things that you would like people to take away, or you would like to take away?" And it is this need to be perfect. We do not need to be perfect. You know, I know in my years they're all PDFs, editable PDFs now, but I remember sending in agar forms with more than one crossing out on, as you know, you realize actually all my assets are more, so that changes, or I haven't put in quite the right amount for the public works loan, whatever it is. You cross it out because the internal auditor said that's not right. So you cross it out and you do it again. And it's all fine. In the grand scheme of things, it's all fine. No one's ever come back and said, "Oh, you made a mistake on the agar form," because the figures all worked in the end. So I just want you to relax into that you don't need to be perfect. There we go. You don't have to do everything perfectly to get through the year end well.
Excellent. Thank you, Becky. That was such a good session as usual. It's always, you
Thank
know,
you.
no, yeah, I really enjoyed all the questions from the attendees there. So if you could take a step back right now, thinking about your whole talk, you know, what is the one thing you want listeners to remember from that session? What is the headline takeaway?
You don't need to be perfect.
Don't need to be perfect, yes.
Don't need to be
Well,
perfect.
everyone's trying to be perfect.
Yeah. If the end of the year is a bit messy, so be it. If you have to correct something on your agar, it's not the end of the world.
It is. You've got to put things in perspective, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Talking about putting things into perspective, take me back to your 18-year-old self. And if you could, well, first, I want you to take me back. And then if you could have a chat with your 18-year-old self, what one bit of advice would you give yourself? But first, what were you doing at 18? What was Becky in?
18, I was A levels, then heading off to university.
A levels where?
So in Cambridge at Long Road Sixth Form College.
Cool. And did you had a boyfriend at the time, or what was the,
That's a question. Did I have
what
a
was
boyfriend
your hobbies at the
at
time?
the
I want to know
time?
that Becky at 18.
So at 18, well, I didn't do as well in my A levels as I could have done because there were two things I discovered when I was at sixth form. One of them being boys, one of them being alcohol
Oh,
and
yes.
partying. So that aside, I did really love sixth form. I had a really lovely group of friends. We had fun. And then some of them had a gap year. I decided not to. And my mum tells me that I said to her, if I don't go now, I'm not going to go. And I was just at the end when you still got grants. So I didn't have to pay my tuition fees.
Yes.
I had to pay other things, but yeah, I was just went off uni to.
I went 2000. I went to uni a bit later, but I was no 1997, and it was the last year you got the full grant.
So things have changed. Those of you with kids at uni will know.
So if you went up to that Becky at that point in time, what would you what would you whisper in her ear?
It might be something similar, actually. There's no right or wrong way to do life. And, we don't have to do it perfectly. In fact, what is perfect? What is normal? All of those kind of things that we probably worried about, I'd have probably said, enjoy it a bit more, enjoy the ride a bit more. I'm very, I really understand now that I'm in my 50s that phrase youth is wasted on the young.
Yes. Do you think you would have listened?
Probably not. I'd have
Yeah,
probably done my
probably
own thing, wouldn't I? Because that's
not.
what we do when we're teenagers.
Do you think your 18-year-old self would be proud of you now?
Generally, yes. Some bits, we all make mistakes, don't we? But that's helps us grow. So there are things I've done, things that have happened that I'm not so proud of, but there are things I'm very proud of.
Okay, good, good. I've got one more final question before we wrap up. So we have this pay it forward tradition. So the previous guest, which was Mark Tompkins from Aubergine, leaves a question for the next guest. So I'll give you that question, but then also afterwards, you'll have to give a question to the next guest. So Mark asks, if you could stop what you're doing today and take up a hobby, what would it be?
Oh, do you know what I'd really like to do? I would like to walk the coastal path all the way around the country.
That is a great one because it's now possible, isn't it?
It is now possible.
And that would you do it all in one go or you do it in sections?
Probably in sections, and I'd probably start somewhere that's a bit flatter, undulating, but not the really getting used to it and how it all works before, tackling the harder, more challenging bits.
Excellent. And then do you have a question for the next guest
I
speaker?
do. So, if kindness was a currency, how could you spend £10 today?
Oh, spicy. Okay, like that. We'll see you. I don't know who the next guest speaker is, but yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they answer that. I might have to pre-warn them on that question.
It might need a little bit of thinking.
Awesome. Okay, well, anyway, thanks again, Becky, for joining us today. Really appreciate it and have a really good day.
Thank you. You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Cool. That's it.